Wow, what a beautiful day. What an awesome day. Mother's Day, all the moms in the house. Hey, if you're a mother in the house today, I want you to stand right now. All the moms stand. All the moms stand. Come on. Come on, come on. Now, I want you to give these mothers a hand. I want you to just go crazy for them right now. They're awesome. Woo! Love it, love it, love it, love it. Y'all are the most special people on the face of the earth. I love y'all. I just was sitting in my office a few minutes ago. I texted my mom and put a little post about my mom on Facebook. And just so thankful for moms. You may be seated. And how great moms are in our life. My mom used to say all the time when I was a little fellow, she'd say, one day you're going to preach the gospel. And then when I got in my adolescent years, she'd say, one day you're going to preach the gospel. And I'd say, quit putting that on me. Then in my teenage years, I was a long way from God. You know what she was still saying? One day, son, you're going to preach the gospel. And here I am. Moms. Moms, they're amazing. Impartation into the lives of our children. Today I want to take us on a little journey. Before I do, though, I want to tell you a couple of jokes. I'm not a big joke teller in the pulpit, but I thought these were cute. By the way, I had nothing to do with the video. I don't take any claim to that. Those guys are crazy. This is a kind of a corny joke, but I thought it was pretty good. Why are computers so smart?
I don't know why.
It listens to its motherboard. Sunday school teacher telling Johnny, said, do you say prayers before you eat? Johnny says, no, ma'am. I don't have to. My mama cooks good. I'm not going to ask how many pray before they eat. I'll just leave that alone. Amen, amen. Praise God. Today we're talking about things that mother said. I thought the little video actually was hilarious. And there were more things that mother said that we didn't put on the video. A couple of them, I wasn't sure what they were rated, so we left them off. But mamas say some amazing things, And how many remember some things that your mother said when you was growing up that stuck with you? Yeah, they're still with you today. And the journey that we've taken with moms, moms put things in us that nobody else does. And moms are so amazing because mothers have a way with children in that nurturing state that men, we're not qualified. We're not equipped to do, and moms do such a phenomenal job of that. And sometimes mothers are often overlooked, and they're taken advantage of simply because sometimes we see it as, oh, that's a mother's duty. I know my kids have heard them say in the house before, well, it's her job. That's what mom does, you know. But how many on your job like for someone to come by and say, great job? Great job. Way to go. You did a good job. And oftentimes we wait till Mother's Day to say, hey, good job, Mom. Good job. You're a good mom. And especially after they grow up, when they're little, sometimes they're a little more good. They're a little better about saying a little more gooder. That's what I was about to say. My mom didn't teach me how to talk. So they're better about saying good job. And I love little boys. Sometimes little boys are pretty romantic with their mamas. They're more apt to say, Mom, you know, good job, Mom. I love you, Mom. And today, moms, just I want to talk about the journey of moms, how amazing moms are and how wonderful they are. I'm going to tell a little story before I start, though, just an appreciation for mothers. When our three oldest kids were little, Holly, Heather, and Haley, I was home, Mom was working, and I was homeschooling them. They wouldn't get much education. So they were like kindergarten, first grade, or whatever it was. Anyway, they were young. And I'm trying to forget this the best I can. Angela remembers the details, but they were young, and Angela was working at the hospital, and I was trying to make it through, and we were several months in, and I was trying to be a good house mom. I was trying to keep the clothes up and wash and do the dishes and do all the things I see Angela do. You know, when I was away from the house, she's, you know, doing it all, have the house clean, doing it all. I was trying to do all that and homeschool. And I remember one day, several months in, I called her on the phone at work and I said, listen, it's real important that you leave as soon as you can because I'm postpartum and I think I'm about ready to kill all three of these kids. You might need to get home. And so, you know, I think every dad who ever says, oh, get my wife to do that because she don't work, she's just at home, should have to do that for about 6 months. And they would never say that again. I would rather dig a ditch from here to China than do that. Give me a shovel, but don't make me do what a mama has to do. Can I get a better amen? Can I get a better amen? And if it was left up to men, the world would be small because we could even make it through those early days of pregnancy, much less delivery. There would only be like one kid born every 10 years because we're pretty wimpy when it comes to pain and all the things that mamas go through. I don't feel really well this morning, and I really wanted to stay home, to be honest with you. And I was thinking about how mom was go through the first trimester, and she's nauseated every day. But nobody says, hey, let me wash the clothes. Let me do the laundry. Let me do that. You just say, hey, you're pregnant. Suck it up. We don't say it, but we think it. You say, you don't think that. Yeah, you do. Did you wash the clothes for her? So, thank you. I'm glad there's an amen in the house. Somebody going to tell the truth. We're not being politically correct here. We're just being honest. And so moms are so amazing, so incredible. And then in that pregnancy time, before the journey ever begins, when that baby is conceived in a mom, things begin to change in their life immediately. Things begin to change. And things, they begin to walk different. They talk different. They think different. I told Angela she couldn't have any more kids because after five, she forgets more than she remembers. I was like, no, we can't have no more kids. That's it, you know. And things like that happen. They're real. And because a mom's always giving into the life and the purpose of what God created a mom to do. So God looked down from heaven. He breathed into man a living soul. Then he said, look, dude, you're a mess without a woman in your life. And let me help you out. And I'm going to give you a woman in your life, and she's going to help you, and she's going to bring forth life, and she's going to honor you by having children on this earth. So today, we're not only just honoring the fact that moms are moms, we're honoring the fact that they give themselves completely to being a mom. Completely everything in their life to be a mom. And I think that's so amazing. So I'm going to carry you on a little funny journey this morning about moms and the stages of life and how foundational moms really are in a child's life. So let me read to you from Psalms first. So it'd be spiritual if we read a scripture, right? So let me read a scripture from Psalms 139. Y'all laugh a little bit this morning, all right? So you form my innermost being. You shape my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and you wove them all together in my mother's womb. Before there was a diaper change, before there was any of that, there was the beginning. And we sang a song today, before the foundation of the world, before everything was started. Tony did such a great job of laying that out. Before all of that happened, God foreknew you. That's right. And like we said today, he chose you as parents, chose you today to put life into so that you could bring into the kingdom of God what he has chosen. And so you're not just nurturing a child, you're nurturing God's next. You're nurturing God's next. And so everything that you do in life is for the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. And along the way, let me say this before I ever get started. Along the way of this journey called motherhood, I want you to start just today by saying, hey, look, there's no perfect mom and there's no perfect people. We made mistakes along the way, but I promise you this. There's more good than there ever is bad. Because the fact that you're there is huge. And that you're steadfast, unmovable, unchanging. And so you're with this baby and laying the foundations of life all through life. The diaper changes, the bottles, the first day of kindergarten. And I got a funny story about that too, the first day of kindergarten I got to tell. Because mom was working, so I carried the kids to the first day of kindergarten, my younger ones, Heidi. And I remember going the first day of kindergarten, and I started to leave Heidi there. And all these moms were standing in the hall, and they were crying because they were leaving their kid, their baby for the first day of kindergarten. And I didn't want them to feel left out, so I started bawling too. It was completely terrible. I was trying to suck it up, and I was crying, and I just put my arm around little mom. She was walking out. It was her first one. And I put my arm around her, and I said, "It's okay. Let's cry together as we walk down the long hall leaving the building." All of those precious moments, all those times, all those significant parts, every moment of your day in life is given to the purpose of the kingdom of God. From the time you get up in the morning until even times when everyone else is sleeping and you're caring for that child when they're up in the middle of the night, you know what you're doing? You're preparing this child for the purpose of the kingdom. And it's super amazing. So Proverbs says this, says she watches over the affairs of the household and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Moms are busy, busy people. They're constantly giving. They're constantly cooking and cleaning and doing all this and washing the clothes and doing everything that a mom has to do. And sometimes we don't even recognize how much they do. But today I want to talk about little things that mama says along these communications. These are some funny things. When they're little babies and they're the caregiver, everybody say caregiver. They say things like, "Say mama, say mama." And then when the baby says dad, dad, they say, "No, say mama, say mama, say mama." I don't think really babies say daddy first. I just think they just say dad, 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 dad. And we say, "Look, they're saying daddy." And the mama's saying, "Say mama, say mama." And we say Gucci Goo and all the baby talk. Just wonder, I don't know how kids ever learn to speak English. Oogie gaga googa googa giga. Things mamas say. And when they start crawling, they love to get on the floor and say, "Come to mama, come to mama." And then after a while, they're crawling really good and they start saying, "No, no, 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 no." Angela had one that nobody else ever heard have. She had one, she was like, "Eh," like a buzzer going off. And when the kids would reach for something, she'd say, "Ah." It was like a shock collar around their neck. "Ah! Ah!" I mean, it worked. I mean, I don't know what to say. I would get tickled because that little "ah" would come out. Sometimes she'd use it on me too, I have to tell the truth. Moms say things like, "If you play with it, put it back up. If you play with it, put it back up." I don't know if we said that one enough because we still can't get our grown kids to clean their room. But nevertheless, it was worth a try. If you play with it, put it back up, right? And then when they go to the store, they say, y'all know what they say at the store? "Look with your eyes and not with your hands." See, y'all have all said it, right? And Angela would say, she was good about this. She would say, "We're not buying anything, so don't ask." And she wouldn't buy anything. I'd say, "We're not buying anything, don't ask." And then about two screams in, I'm like, "Okay, you can get one piece of candy. Just be quiet." If she said she wouldn't buy nothing, she meant it. They wouldn't get nothing. And then there was in that car when you was about to have a nervous breakdown, and they were all going 90 to nothing. I get the privilege of sometimes picking up our kids and the bro kids from school, and they're wound up from school, and they get in the car, and it's like the minute they get in the car, my nerves just come unraveled. And so they've learned to play me. And so Sissy says, "Pastor, I love you. You're the best. Can we have some ice cream?" That never worked on Angela. She's like, "No, you're not getting ice cream. Be quiet." Because moms are principal. Moms are principal. Dads are suckers. Mamas are instilling principle in the lives of their kids. We just like, okay, whatever. Or then they get them in the car and say, let's play the quiet game. So what if I win if I'm loud? You're going to die. Whoever's the quietest gets to live after this car ride. So we do all the different things to try to get our kids. We really don't say that, but we think it. And so moms say these things too. Like, now, Angela, this is one of Angela's. I'm gonna get the belt. I'm gonna spank you. You're gonna get the pop pop. I'm gonna get the belt. I'm gonna spank you. You're gonna get the pop pop. I'm gonna get the belt. I'm gonna spank you. You're gonna get the pop pop. I'm gonna spank you. You're gonna get the belt. Just keep on doing that. I'm gonna spank you. And then she goes, and when your daddy gets home, you're in trouble. Nobody wants to hear that, right? When your dad gets home, you're in trouble. So we move them through those child years where we're caring for them and we're nurturing their life and we're loving on them and we're teaching them the right and the wrong. And it's really the easy years, honestly. Those are really the easy years. And then they get in those adolescent years and we get very, very spiritual. This is called the cop years. You become a cop. How many moms know what I'm talking about? You become a cop. Y'all don't want to raise your hand, but you know what I'm talking about. You become a cop. And you get spiritual. You start quoting scripture. Like, be sure your sins will find you out. That you sow, so shall you reap. Just remember that. Or you do the one like, listen, I got the Holy Ghost and God speaks to me, so don't think you're going to get by with that. Because I'm discerning. It's called a little Holy Spirit threat. If you're out of control, you're going down. Now, I will have to say that I always couldn't figure out how my mom knew things that nobody else knew. They had this sensitivity. They're like, you walk in, and I think it really is discernment. I think it's a sixth sense. And you know, my mom would say, where have you been? Nowhere. Yes, you have. Because they know. There's this knowing of nurturing in there. They pick it up. They sense it. They know what's going on. I think God gave moms a sixth sense that's just amazing. You see, I always said my mom has eyes in the back of her head. And I like when they said, my mom would say this. She'd say, eat what's on the table or do without. Eat what's on the table or do without. I'm not a short order cook. She was teaching me to be thankful for what was put in front of me. Those are not just because I don't want to cook for you. Those were like, hey, learn to be thankful for what is in front of you, what's on the plate. And so they're teaching these principles of life. Now, when I was young, my mother would say, you eat what's on the table or you do without. When I became a teenager and had a car, she said, if you don't like it, go to McDonald's. Yeah. And now that I'm old, she says, baby, what you want for dinner? Because really the principle of teaching those principles of life is not what she's trying to teach me today. Today, it's a different story. But when I was young, she was trying to teach me, be thankful. Learn not to complain. Learn to eat what's important. Learn to expect the blessings in your life and receive the blessings in your life. And one that everybody knows that you say to your kids in that age where you're being a cop says, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. And that's a little... Of course, well, I added a little bit to that today. Says because we said, if I told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, and then they tag on, and I mean it this time. This time I mean it. The last 1,000 times I didn't mean it, but this time I mean it. But really, the reason they're saying is, if I told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. The scripture even goes along with that. Scripture says we're saved by the foolishness of preaching. And I was thinking one day, so what does that mean? We're saved by the foolishness of preaching. And the Lord said, because you have to keep telling them the same thing over and over till they get it. And honestly, that's the way we are in life. Moms keep telling us over and over and over in life. It's the repetition. Now, we get aggravated because we've heard it before. But the honest truth is, it's like math. You do the same repetition over and over until you get it. Life is like a lesson that you learn over and over. That's why mom says, I've told you 1,000 times. And I'm going to tell you 1,000 more. Because I'm building in you the things that you need. Because she's a good mom. Good mom. And then they move from that stage, they move on to where they go from cop to coach. and they start coaching. This is a very difficult time for mothers when they move from the cop to the coach. They've been a caregiver, they've been a cop. Now they're being a coach, especially with young men. Because the coaching stage is when they move and they have to start cutting the apron strings. Before, and I don't mean this in the wrong kind of way, but before they had a little control over the environment. They were able to set the environment. They were in charge. And then when they moved to coaching, especially with as a youth pastor, I've had to pastor parents through the teenage years with their sons. I remember one mother came to me one time and she said, "I don't know what's wrong with my son." She said, "He won't listen to a thing I tell him." And he was about 14 years old. And I said, "Have you looked at him lately?" And she goes, "No." Well, this particular young man, he could grow a beard overnight at 14. I said, "He's a man. And he don't want a mama telling him what to do." That's the last time she ever came to me for advice. I don't know what happened. But honestly, you move to that coaching stage of their life, and you're still building in their life. But now they're coming to you, and you're coaching them. You're helping them to navigate through life. So you say things a little differently than you said as a cop. You say, you know, sometimes in life, life's just not fair. You're helping them to process the things in life. I'm here for you if you need me, but sometimes in life, life is just not fair. Oh, so we always say this one too, you know, when you start acting like an adult, I'll start treating you like one. Now, that's always like a little sassy, you know. You feel like that's a little sassy. When you start acting like an adult, I'll treat you like one. But really, there's a principle in that. You want to act like an adult, but you don't want to take the responsibility of an adult. And so mom is guiding that child by saying, when you start acting like an adult, I'll start treating you like an adult. They're thinking, "Oh, wait a minute. So I want to take the car and I want to go do all these things. I need to start responding differently. I need to act like an adult." I'm going somewhere with this. Just give me a minute. So, or when you grow up, you'll figure it out. She's pushing that edge, like mature understanding. This is sometimes hard to do, to tell a child, whether you're a mother or a father, but when they come to you and you ask them the question, "What would you do in this situation?" Instead of telling now, you're asking, "What would you do? How would you handle this?" Finding out that these young people really have, they're really smart. They just need the right question asked. But we're guiding them. And then sometimes we say, when they come home and they're hurt and they're broken, you say, "Well, you know, that's the way life is. You can't always get what you want." Well, that's a good lesson to learn in life right there, right? There's a song like that. I won't sing it right now. "Sometimes you can't always get what you want, but you get what you need." So you have to get what you need sometime. And then I like to say this one. This is not a mother saying probably as much as a daddy saying, but I'm gonna blame some of you moms for it anyway. "You can have it if you can afford it, but I'm not buying it. You can have it if you can afford it, but I'm not buying it." What are we teaching? Responsibility. That costs something. And I have to say that my wife has done a phenomenal job of raising our kids about how to spend money. This is not about my wife. I'm just using her for example. But my kids have learned how to spend money so much that she's taught them how to be so thrifty that my mother won't shop with them because they shop all day and buy nothing. Because if it ain't 80% off, we don't get it. So these principles are pouring into the lives of our children day in and day out. Kingdom thoughts. They're kingdom things said today in the areas of life. And then last but not least, the last stage of life is the consulting stage, where they're grown now. They may be off to college, they're married, they're doing things, and they come back for advice. They come back for advice. And you want to say things like, you know, you see, they know, they see. You've been there, you've done that, you've got the wardrobe. And we help them through life by talking about the learning curves of their life, the situations they have to deal with, and the promises of God over their life, and how to tap into that, and how to move on in life. They come back and want to know how to cook so-and-so food. How do you do that? And, you know, we pass on these generational things. And I want to pause right here and just say this. This is not part of my message, but I want to say it. Moms, teach your kids how to wash the clothes. Teach your kids how to cook. Teach your kids how to run their bank account. All right, I'm off of that. Teach them, because they need to know. They need to learn these things. And they're getting married, they're having kids, and you would think they would know, but they come back to consult because they're coming back to a mom who's poured their life into them, and they're coming back to a consultant. At my age right now, I consult with my father more than I did when I was 19, I assure you that. So but the reason I go back and consult with mom and dad about things is because of the foundation that they put in my life when I was young. The things and experiences. And when you get to a certain age, then you realize that the experiences of life that they've poured into you, now you can go back and stand on those foundations that they have established that maybe is a generational pass down. And all of this is very spiritual. It's not just a thing that we do in life, because as we walk through life, we're training up our children in the way they should go, so that when they're old and when they get into this next phase of life, or maybe when we're going on to be with the Lord, we've planted a foundation in them, moms, that is unmovable. Unmovable. So all through life, mom is helping us to become. I think about the story of Mary. And Mary, an angel appeared to Mary and said, "You're going to birth a child. And this child is going to be named Jesus." And Mary was just a young girl. She was very young, and she was in amazement that the Lord had chosen her to bring the Savior of the world. But there was still a responsibility that Mary had to this child. So after Jesus was born, she still had to feed the child. She still had to take care of him. She still had to clothe Jesus. And she had to walk with Jesus. And she had to teach him the things that he needed to learn. She had to wipe off his dirty little knees when he played outside. And she had to give him a bath. And she nurtured Jesus. And I love the story that when he was probably as 12 years old, some theologians believe is in that age, that they went to another city, and they were there for some business and for a time, and he was with family, and they started to leave, and Jesus was not there. It makes me think of Haley sitting up here on the front row. Haley would always love to hide in the store. We couldn't find her, you know, and we would panic, like she would be up in the clothes rounders, you know, in the rounders giggling, you know, hearing us say, "Haley, Haley, 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 Haley," and she just thinks that the funniest thing. I didn't think it was funny, but she thought it was funny. And as we began to panic, where is she at, and get nervous. And there was those mothering things going on within Mary when she was looking for Jesus in the temple, because she was a mother. She was a nurturer. And it's interesting to see that Mary, all through his life, was guiding and leading the Messiah, Jesus, the Savior of the world. And God chose a mother to do that. God chose a mother to help, to plant, to sow the seed, to speak the word. And John, the second chapter, it was on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also invited the wedding with his disciples. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" And Joseph slapped a fire out of him. No, I didn't say that. I'm just kidding. I was just thinking that's what my dad would have done if I would have said that to my mom. "What has this got to do with me?" Pow! I'm sorry. "My hour is not yet." And then I added this version too. And his mama said, "Because I said so. Because I said so." So really, it was the mother of Jesus who launched Jesus into his miracle ministry. "But it's not my time," but yet mama said, "It's time." Mama said, "Hey, look, all the things that's happened over the last 30 years, son, this is your time. This is your time." And I want moms to hear me today. All the things that you're putting in your kids from when they're little bitty, tiny, tiny, actually before they're ever born. The songs you sang when they were yet in the mom's womb, the words you've prayed over them, the things you've said through their years when you was caregiving for them, to the years that you were working through adolescence and those years of kind of being the cop in their life and keeping things under control and disciplines, and to the years of coaching and all through the years of consulting. And I know sometimes, moms, it gets weary. But everything that you've put in them, every little bit, is amazing. I don't want to say wherever the enemy has told you you failed, I want you to tell the enemy he's a liar. He's a liar. That's not true. Those are not true. Ryan's mom's here today, and I was trying to look over at her during the video and see if she was grinning. All the things that you've put into Ryan, and then this day, not over the video because that was kind of silly, but everything that he does in the kingdom of God. I look more into the video that he not only did the video, he not only is in the video, but he actually filmed his own video. He actually produced his own video. He did all of those things because mom somewhere nurtured the goodness of God in him to do what he's doing today. And he's serving God. He's living for God. And you think sometimes during these times, and I just texted my mom. I put on my mom, like, when I had multicolored hair and I had punk rock hair and I was strung out on drugs, my mom was still praying for me. She was still believing God's best for my life. She was still speaking God's best for me. It was my mom who was saying, one day, son, one day, one day. When others give up on me, my mom was not giving up on me. And this was Mary as she walked through the life with Jesus. And then let's look at the cross. Everybody who walked with Jesus had abandoned him. But who was there? Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was standing at the foot of the cross with tears in her eyes, broken over seeing her son hanging on the cross. But she had not abandoned him because his purpose was to come, to live, and then to die. And she was watching the fulfillment of the purpose of the kingdom of God be done in his life while he was on the cross. Everything that she had put in his life throughout all those years was for this moment. For this moment. I want to say today, moms, everything that you've done in life is for this moment when your children will rise up and they'll be counted good for the glory of God. When they go through difficult times, and I'm going to call it learning experiences. When they walk through learning experiences, and you got to let them go sometimes. You got to let them fly. You got to let them be who they are. Sometimes they have to crash. Sometimes they have to land at hard places, but never forget that seed that you've been sowing into their life and that word that you've been speaking over them and the prayers that you've prayed over them are taking deep root in their life, and there's purpose. Never fear the purpose of God for their life. It's all for his glory. This is the time in his life when God was proving himself, showing himself to a mother who is standing at the foot of the cross and saying, yes, Lord, this is all for your glory. Proverbs 31, and I'm closing. Proverbs 31 says, her children rise up and they call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done exceedingly, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is in vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her at the gates. A mom, a Proverbs mom, a mom who does these works, her children are going to rise up and they're going to call her blessed. They're going to call her blessed. They're going to see all the work and all the things that she's done and the things that were overlooked. But one day, if you want to see the value of what you've done, look beyond the mistakes your children have made and see the heart, see the things that you've sowed into them. And God is the rewarder of those who stay faithful to him. So today, I want to say thanks to moms. I want to say thanks to all the moms that are in the house today. Thank you for being who you were called to be. Thank you for rising up. Thank you for being faithful to the kingdom of God. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. I can't let this day go by without saying this. There's moms here today that didn't. You never have birthed a child. Not your own child, but you've raised up some children. You've touched some lives. I want to honor you today, too. You're an amazing mom. You're an amazing mom. I want to say today to some single moms today. Single moms in the house. Listen, I want to applaud you today. It's tough being a mom, and it's really tough being a single mom. I think we ought to give single moms a hand today. I want to bless you today. I want to pray over you. So if all the moms are standing up in the house today one more time, I just want to pray over you today. I don't know, I just feel this in my spirit this morning, like probably one of the highest callings in life is to be a parent, and to be a mother. The time and the energy that you spend sowing, giving, planning. It's probably one of the highest callings on planet Earth. And in this place today, I want you to be blessed. The enemy comes and tries to steal our blessing, but today I'm saying be blessed. Be blessed today. Let the joy of the Lord come be your strength today. Let the joy of the Lord just nurture you today. Let it just come into your heart today and just rest upon you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want moms just to lift their hands to the Lord. Father, we just pray over every mom in this place today. We pray supernatural strength over their lives. When they're in the middle of the night, Lord, and babies are crying, fever is high. Lord, you be the comfort to that mother. You be the strength to that mother. You be the wisdom to that mother. She lays her hand upon that child's head. She takes dominion over sickness. When she stands at the stove and she cooks the meal, she's not just doing her responsibility of feeding her family, but God, she's nurturing the kingdom of God. Because we're all your sons and daughters, God. She's sowing into the greatest thing on planet Earth. In the yard when you're playing and sitting on the floor with the Barbie dolls, being mom. Throughout those difficult years of teenage years when our children rise up with a determination of their own, and it seems like sometimes that our words fall to the ground. Let us just be patient in those times and faithful in those times, knowing that every word that we speak over our children is blessed and yea and amen, and that the goodness of God is keeping them. Bless them, Mom. Bless them, Moms. Bless the moms today, God. Give them joy, God, for their journey. Give them strength for their hands. Give them patience in their waiting. Let your Holy Spirit rest upon them in an amazing way, God. Let them be on purpose to do what they do on purpose, God. Every scripture that they've read, God, and they've claimed over their children, Lord, let them believe with faith that it shall come to pass. Don't ever give up. not to ever give in, but to stay firm, steadfast, unmovable. On this day, God, I just pray for healing over their bodies, healing over their minds, healing over their spirit. Let them walk in the goodness of God. Let them walk in your pleasure, Lord Jesus. Give them great faith. Give them great faith. I just want to pray that over somebody right now in this building. I just feel like God wants to pour out great faith on some moms today. Faith to be all that you've been and all that you're going to be. If your children are grown, just great faith come upon you to believe the seed that you sowed has been good seed, and that God's going to bring that great tree up, and it's going to be blessed. It's going to be blessed. Great faith. Great faith, God. Great faith to stand in tribulation and trial and say, God, your word is yea and amen, God, and I will stand upon it, God. Great faith in the mistakes that you've made, that God overcomes all those mistakes. He goes beyond our faults and he helps us in our time of need. Great faith. A measure of faith that goes beyond just that simple faith, but goes to that high level faith where we believe for the supernatural over our children. And I want you to speak that right now. I want you to speak those words over yourself and over your kids today, that God's going to do great things in their life. And we bless you today, moms. We bless you today, moms. And we give you the praise. Not God. We're giving you praise today. We're giving you honor today, as unto the Lord. But we're giving you honor today. We're praising you. We're thanking you. We're saying, yes, mom, you're good. The Bible says to give honor where honor is due. Today, we're honoring you. And we're blessing you with blessings upon your life. You're amazing. Don't ever forget it. And God is good and he is faithful. I want the rest of the congregation to stand with me this morning.